Hello and welcome to the Celtic Women's Football Show. I'm your host, as always, Claire Wilde, but I am operating today from my COVID isolation station. So I want to apologise in advance if there's any inadvertent rustling or weird bits of the show where, because basically I'm kind of balanced on a varying selection of furniture that we've cobbled together from the house to put next to my sick bed. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm sure it'll be fine. The person who's been looking after me is here. It's Christopher Gallagher.
Hello, how are you, Claire? Well, I know how you are.
You know how I am. Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay. COVID-free at this point, but let's hope that keeps up.
Fingers crossed.
Long may that continue. It's been a tough couple of days, but you know, we'll get through it and lots to talk about.
And of course, he's here. He's Lorenzo Pacitti. He is also not... How are you feeling this morning, Lorenzo? Let me not assume anything.
I'm a wee bit hungover, but I'm actually okay. I've not got COVID, so, you know.
That's a bonus.
Right side.
Yeah, so we're here and we're going to do our very best to talk about some Celtic women's football stuff. As we normally do at the top of the show, going to talk a little bit about some news. The first thing I wanted to talk about was Celtic are showing the Rangers game tomorrow on the Pass to Paradise. Lorenzo, sort of one of those bits of news that we see and we go, yay, and then we go, is it good enough?
The pasta penny cars. I mean, it's good. It's what you want, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Some of the wording in the email scared me a little bit. Stuff like, you know, like fulfilling our promises of that we made in our added value on the season ticket. It's like, well, you know, it's one game on the pasta paradise, sell down. No round of applause yet, but... Yeah, good. I mean, more people are going to watch it. These are the games where you get people into the women's team, which again is why it annoyed me so much that was about what happened last week, and we'll talk about that, and why it annoys me that we play in Airdrie in the first place. But, you know, this is the way you get people to watch the women's team, is to show the derbies and show us hopefully winning the derbies, and that's how people get excited about it. So, yeah, all good. But
yeah, all good. I mean, not to be too negative, Chris, it is obviously good, but we were told, I think, there was going to be 5 games from the B team and the women's team on the Pass to Paradise, and we've kind of been waiting a while to get one.
Hold on a minute. Are you insinuating that Celtic and the Celtic board don't fulfil their promises? Because that is outrageous.
Quite the allegation, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I had some drinks with 4 or 5 of the cynics last night, and as we were leaving, I said to them, are you going to watch the game on Sunday after the game? Are you going to watch the women's game? And everyone was very excited, very focused and very, very open to it. And I think that's the main point. I think a lot of people are open to supporting Celtic FC women's team, but you just don't have the option to. I mean, obviously, as we say, that like the Hearts game not being on TV, the Rangers game last week, we had to watch it through a fucking Rangers stream, which was disgusting. but you know, it's like the more access to it, the easier access to it for people, the bigger it becomes, and it's just a cycle. And I'm very positive and happy about it, but it also just seems like a bit of a token gesture, which is frustrating.
Yeah, I think this is always going to be the flavor of things where it's like, it's good, but can we have some more, please? As we always say. But it's interesting you mentioned having chats with people last night and then being excited about it, because the other thing to note is that I think a couple of those people, you were on a Zoom call, and a couple of those people are overseas. So people like Eddie and Mark Braceland, who, you know, they're never going to be able to get to the game, but they've shown a massive interest in wanting to watch the game and just haven't been able to access it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact that Eddie's in Long Island and in New York, and Mark's in just a wee island off like Nova Scotia, like quite out there places. But you know, they're desperate to watch the women's team. They listen to the podcast. They just want to consume Celtic. This is the other thing. Like, by kind of the Celtic men's first team, the Celtic women's team, and the B team, it should be a synergy, but it seems like there's just like they treat them like they're three separate entities, as opposed to come and watch Celtic, which is what it should be. And that lack of synergy, I think, makes a real disconnect in people's mind between that Celtic and that's another team that just happened to play in hoops. And that's what
there should be some kind of Celtic TV, you know, something like that.
That would be great. Good.
Very good, Lorenzo. Yeah, no, I mean, it is good that it's going to be on Celtic TV, though. Let's like focus on the positive. But the other thing I wanted to bring up, because of the kind of promises that were made about Celtic TV, and I think the kind of promise that was made to season ticket holders at the beginning of this season, after the shit show that was last season, was that, Lorenzo, there would be at least one game that was free to season ticket holders at Celtic Park. Do you think that will ever materialise, and which game would it be?
I really don't. I just don't understand why it would be like a last minute thing, but it feels like it's going to be if it happens. Yeah. It feels like the kind of thing that we should know months in advance, because it's going to happen once and it's going to be a big, massive deal. You know, I wonder how much they've even thought about it yet. If it's something that's just so far in the back burner, it's going to be late in the season. Mm. It might work out for them, you know, if the season is so close. Like, it's probably going to be like it's supposed to be. And the last game of the season is Celtic v Rangers. So, you know, as much as we're annoyed that it's going to drag out, if that pays off and we get the last game of the season, Celtic v Rangers at Celtic Park, you'd be buzzing. But, yeah, do I mean, I trust
yeah,
it's going
it
to
would
happen?
Be amazing. But also, the flip side of that is, if you do it later in the season, that gives no time for it to build. It gives no time for people to get excited and go, oh, do you know what? This is great. Let's do more of this. Let's, you know, and for the club to prove that people will come and watch Celtic women's football. Anyway, Christopher, before we move on.
Do you know the perfect time to have a game at Celtic Park?
Go on.
It would be against Rangers, a home tie against Rangers, when the men's team are away, just before an international break. That would be ideal, because it would mean that, you know, that there wouldn't be two games in a row. If, you know, people would say, well, the women's team, the men has to have to take priority. It would give 2 weeks for the pitch to get back to a good standard. Not that one game's going to make much of a difference. But essentially, this game, this weekend, is absolutely the perfect time to have that home game. It ticks every box. The men's team start at 12. You could be down at Parkhead for kickoff. The game could be free on the season ticket. It's a Sunday afternoon. Celtic aren't going to be around for 2 weeks. They miss every marketing opportunity that has ever been laid into their lap. And that just sums Celtic up for me.
Excellent point, Chris. But do watch the game on Sunday on Celtic TV. No, that is good. The other thing that I was going to bring up in terms of news and things, we got through the tie against Rangers. We've got the semi-final draw against Hibs. Lorenzo, thoughts on that? They are a team that the last couple of years, we haven't had the SWPL Cup for obvious reasons, but the previous 4 years where it's been completed, Hibs have won it. They won it. They beat Glasgow City in 2019 on penalties. They beat Celtic in 2017 and 2018, and they beat Glasgow City in 2016. So while we might think that this is a fixture that we can go in and take, and that we probably are the favourites for, this Hibs team is going to be absolutely well up for defending their title.
Yeah, they've got the cup experience, and they're just objectively the best team outside the big three. So that's not the draw you ideally want. But again, it'll feel like a big cup game. I think it'll be a lot tighter than maybe we would think it would be in the league, just by the nature of the fixture. But, you know, you got to beat the best teams. We've already beaten Rangers. We need to go out and beat Hibs, and then hopefully we beat, I assume, Glasgow City in the final. So Hibs, they're not like a bogey team of ours, but we've had a couple, you know, tough performances against them. So I think it is going to be a tough game. I think because it's a cup game, it's going to be nervy. But again, as always, it's one we should go out and win. And I am confident because the Celtic team shows up in big games. So I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. Do you share Lorenzo's confidence, Christopher?
Cup semi-final. I would never want to be overly confident. And I think Lorenzo's absolutely nailed it. They're the best team outside of the top three. They're a team that I think probably will... It's like they almost had to reset, and they're kind of back to kind of building again. Young, kind of exciting team. So hopefully they're not quite there yet, and we can, you know, swoop in. But as Lorenzo says, when you have that winning mentality when it comes to cups, like the men's team, you've seen this. Sometimes you just have something in you. So I'm looking forward to it. I think there's a lot of trepidation because, you know, how we've been kind of lining up recently has been interesting, shall we, to say the least. Let's hope he gets it right on the day. But yeah, I mean, it's a cup semi-final, so obviously excited, but a little bit of trepidation with it as well. I personally would have preferred Glasgow City in the semis, but you know, because
talk us through that thinking.
Well, I think Celtic have got a better chance of beating them in the semis than they do in the final, and that's just to do with Glasgow City and how they are. And teams like that in cup finals are, you know, we've seen from the Celtic men's team, Celtic are more likely to lose a semi than they are to lose a final. When Celtic get to finals, they very rarely lose. It happens, but they very rarely lose, but we've lost plenty of semi-finals. So I think there's more chance of, not an upset, but there's more chance of beating Glasgow City in the semi. But, you know, they might not even make the final, so let's, you know, one step at a time. But I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, that fixture is on the 14th of November. It's going to be in Stirling, which means that we are not going to be able to attend, which you're shaking your head, Lorenzo.
I just annoy. Oh, no, again, this is why maybe I would say I'd rather play City in the final, just because I want to be at the final, and that's in Maryhill, so that's a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, we have long-standing plans for that Sunday evening, which means getting back from Stirling and actually being able to do that is impossible. So we are looking to hope, well, fingers crossed there's going to be a stream somewhere. I've been told by someone at SWF that it is on the cards, but we have yet to
on
have
the cards,
any
confidence. You might get to watch the cup semi-final, Fox.
You might get to watch it on Facebook or YouTube if you're lucky. That's what I've been told. So yeah. But yeah, it's exciting. It's good. We're progressing in the cup. It's all, again, let's end on a positive. The third bit of news I just wanted to touch on before we move on to some of the games that we've played. Alan Campbell, sports journalist in The Herald, wrote an article about the fact that, so there's a kind of bit of controversy, some to-ing and fro-ing at the top of Scottish women's football. There's been some of the clubs, and he named the seven clubs that got in touch with Scottish Women's Football, SWF, which is the kind of body that at the moment administers the league. And the seven clubs were Aberdeen, Celtic, Accies, Hearts, Motherwell, Rangers and Spartans. And they were in touch with SWF about the fact that there's this kind of Scottish football like target to sort of revive the governance of the Scottish top flight divisions by 2022-23, I think. And I think the general vibe is that things are moving too slowly and the options are not coming on the table. The big thing is around commercialization. Did you read the article, Chris? And what are your thoughts on it?
I did read the article, and my thoughts on it are this is Scottish football governance in a nutshell, a tale of ineptitude and complete miscalculation, misrepresentation of the clubs. You know, one of the quotes here from the Spartans, was it?
Debbie McCulloch.
Yeah, Debbie McCulloch. We had an original meeting with the SFA and SWF where the clubs made it clear this was the path we wanted to go down. Since then, there has not been much progress. I appreciate that SWF are very busy and probably under-resourced. However, this has to be a priority. We're not saying from Spartans' point of view that SWF isn't an option for the future. We just want to hear from people and other organisations. It's just a case of the organisation that runs Scottish Women's Football, they should be at the beck and call and behest of the clubs. It's a member organisation.
Yes.
And for them to turn around and be like, I don't know, yeah, I'll decide later what we're going to do, it's utterly ludicrous. And you know, Celtic really, as the biggest club in the country, should 100% be throwing their weight around and saying, look, this isn't good enough. You've got part-time clubs, you've got clubs with small budgets. For the sake of the game, we need commercialization, we need sponsorships. Celtic as a football club should be throwing their weight around and protecting and helping these young up-and-coming clubs. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. From the article, the dynamic seems to be that the clubs are kind of having to go cap in hand to SWF and the Scottish FA and sort of say, please, sir, can we have a little bit of something to change? And it absolutely, Lorenzo, feels like it should be the other way around, right? Like how Chris was saying.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very depressing, but it's also not surprising at all. I mean, I read in the article, obviously costs have gone up for a bunch of teams because of the introduction of pro players and professionalisation in general, but that's the big teams. And it's funny to see that list of teams, not to create any beef, but Hibs and City, fucking shitebags, because everything's all right for them right now. I don't understand that, because it's, you know, you've got the weeest teams in the league and the newly professional teams that all would benefit from commercialisation, because it's got nothing right now. It's literally just kind of thrown together. And again, you can see the lack of responsibility taken in the leadership, and it just needs a massive change. And as the Spartans manager says in that comment, they need options. They need to see if there's better out there from somebody else who can step in. And the SWF, I feel like, know that and know that they're not going to win. You know, it doesn't seem like they have anything to offer on the table. So the more they delay it, the longer they kind of keep some sort of control. But I don't know what they're benefiting. I don't know if anybody's benefiting right now. It's just maybe the teams that are professional are probably leaking a little bit of money, which again will stop the bigger boards, you know, Celtic and Rangers, ever investing properly if there's no obvious path for commercialisation and sponsorship and real money coming in. But it does shock me that, I mean, I guess City maybe are fear, like I've been saying all season, they're fear of Celtic and Rangers getting too big.
So why would you be shocked that a club that can gain access to the Champions League wants to weaken its opposition? Why would that shock you?
Because they're meant to be progressive, Chris.
Aye, it's a lot of
they're
rubbish.
Meant to be the good guys. I know they play in orange, aye, which is why it was really easy to make them rivals. But I think that their whole thing is that they were meant to be helping build the women's game. But I think now, at the point where, you know, they've been running the women's game for so long, now there's a sniff of competition. It's a wee bit sad to me to see that they don't seem to. And then Hibs as well. Like, I know Hibs have been, we've talked about Hibs have had success in the women's game, and Hibs have been going along quite nicely. But Hibs did, you know, they had the 5,000 at the stadium. Hibs should be a team that are looking for this as well, because they can really kick on. They have that groundwork there. Yeah. They've got success in the past. They've shown there's an appetite for their women's team. If I'm Hibs, I'm jumping on board with Celtic Rangers, and I'm going, let's get sponsors in here, let's get money in here, because I want some of it. Because they've got, you know, a whole pool of players in Edinburgh. They've got a whole fan base, obviously, quite keen to watch the games. It's all something that just, the day it breaks, the day they get other offers in and a chance for new governance, I think we'll see a massive sea change in the women's game here. But because of just how slow the SWF are at everything, God knows what. That's the thing. They're kind of waiting to be allowed to fuck off. And it's just...
the slowness. The slowness is what I was going to bring up. And I think one of the quotes in the article from SWF is, you know, let's not do it too quickly. Let's get it right for the long term. And it's like, let's have some ambition. Let's prioritise this as a key thing that we need to do quickly, because the moment is now. Look at what's happening in England with the WSL. Look at what's happening globally. Like, if the moment is not now, then when is the moment? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's like, we're going to take our time. We want to get this right. You can get it right and do it quickly. But, you know, not every decision is made, and not every good decision is made because you take your time over it. You know, yeah. And see, the thing for me, you know, Claire, obviously you've come into Scottish football like fairly recently and stuff, but this is so depressingly familiar. Like, this is so depressingly familiar. It's...
The other day I did spend, because I'm a glutton for punishment, I spent a considerable part of an afternoon trying to actually figure out what the structure of governance in Scottish women's football is. And it takes, a lot of effort to even scratch the surface of what the structure looks like. I watched a couple of videos of, like, this is an easy explainer of how it all works, which were like 3-minute videos, which by about a minute and a half, I was completely lost about which committee spoke to which other committee and all this other stuff. It was completely impenetrable. And it made me feel like, as someone who is a fan of and invested in various ways, women's football in Scotland, that it was just kind of, it shouldn't be that hard to understand who's accountable for what, and also to try and follow the money. It was impossible to find out, you know, the SWF is doing TV deals with Alba and things like that. How much money is coming in from that? There's nothing in the public domain about that, about where the money is going, who's getting it, how much is going to the clubs, what the SWF are spending it on. It just feels very murky to me, Lorenzo.
Yeah, there's usually always somebody making money out of this, but I can't even figure out who that would be. It just feels like it's just a mishmash of stuff thrown together, and they can't keep up with what right now is very limited demand for the women's game. You know, it could be massive, but they can't seem to keep up with, you know, people want to watch the games. What, you want to watch the, you want to watch a game of football? How are we meant to do that? How are we meant to show you that? It's all just a bit incompetent and haphazard and really, really annoying. But we talked this in the Vision Pod like months ago. Like, the ship is sailing on like this time to jump on board with the women's game in terms of money being there and the excitement there for it. Mm. We are going to get left so far behind because everyone else across Europe seems to be jumping on this. And we just don't want it. We talk about Celtic being risk averse and stuff like that, and money men here being risk averse, but this isn't even the risky thing to do is to do nothing.
Yeah.
To just let this start to kind of sink because we don't show it enough and we don't try and get people interested. But it's just really, really scary.
It's bad businessmen. Again, go back to, I said this the other week on the agenda about how Celtic are bad businessmen. Like, you know, it's
bad
the same
business people, Chris.
Bad business people. Well, the board, the Celtic board are mainly men, so boo. It should be people. I just want to, I love this. See, from the quotes from the article, and it was the SWF responding. The process, and this sounds really professional, right? The process of determining the best governance model needs to be robust to ensure it is future-proofed and our approach is informed by voices of experience in Scotland and beyond. And then it says, it'd be good if the long-term model could be introduced in 2023. I just love the way it's like, very determined in governance sense, like, it would be good if.
Yeah.
The fuck?
What?
It's not our planned, our plans and process will be this or that. It'd be good if, I see if we could do that, that'd be good, aye. That'd be good. Fuck,
man. I think the good thing about all of this, though, is that the clubs, the majority of clubs, you know, seven clubs is a significant portion of the clubs in the SWPL1 are obviously starting to find a voice and actually say this isn't good enough. And I would like to think that that will push things towards a new thing. We will keep our eyes on it and we don't want to dwell on it too much. I'm sure we might do a whole other like special pod on it at some point. But yeah, let's talk about some football.
Mm.
Did you just say boo? That's fine, Lorenzo. Do you want to just duck out for this bit?
Yeah, I'll be back when you're talking about the money in the women's game.
The governance. Lorenzo's got a big tattoo that just says football governance on his shoulder.
I've got beef with Glasgow City now. I'm fed up with Glasgow City. I'm pure raging now. Jeez. I've official beef with Glasgow City shitebags.
We're going to talk about beating Rangers though now. So you'll like that, Lorenzo.
Okay, I like that. I'll stay.
And you were there. Talk us through how it was to be at the game. You went behind enemy lines for us.
It was very strange, man. That's a very staunch training ground. It really is.
What makes it feel like that?
My auntie used to live up, kind of, you had to go past that road. And I remember the big blue gates, just driving past them as a child. And you would put your, you know, middle finger up quietly in the car when you would go past or stuff like that. Or you would hold your breath. And it's just it's just a big blue gates. And me and my pal Stephen went, and you roll up to the door, and the guy's like, what's your name? And see, I could see the flicker in his eyes when he saw Stephen was spelt with a PH.
Oof, scum.
I had to like move two pallets to get parked, and I asked two people, and they wouldn't tell us where we could park. It was just all very intense. But then, you know, the actual game itself, like when you get in, the Rangers woman at the taking my name was very, very nice. She told me where to sit, or she told me like a vague idea of where there might be Celtic people, which was nice. There was a lot of Celtic people, like I think a lot of like family came, which actually made it feel a bit more like a derby, which is obviously the worry because there was going to be no Celtic fans technically allowed in. So that was good, but it's a nice way to watch the game, just that stand in the nice training pitch, you know, the kind of setup was pretty professional. Stand was nice and easy again, like that's what I want to see at something like Barrowfield. Yeah, it was great. It was weird being behind enemy lines. Commentator Tom was on the mic apparently, but I could not find him anywhere, and I was looking. But it was good. It was really, really good.
With his Jacinta.
Oh, see, I was trying, to find him so much. I wanted a wee selfie with Commentator Tom. I couldn't find him.
Chris, Lorenzo alluded to the fact there that it was only open to Rangers fans. You could only buy tickets if you had a MyJers membership or a Rangers season ticket, which it's disappointing that it wasn't kind of like, it's, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. I feel like I forget sometimes what we've actually talked about on the show because I think about this stuff and talk about it so much. But we'd said about how, you know, the Edinburgh Derby had attracted the biggest domestic crowd for a women's football game. They'd given out free tickets. So we've got this Glasgow Derby and one side isn't allowed to be there. I know also that stand, and Lorenzo will probably vouch for this, is much smaller. Like the capacity to take people into that ground is much, much less than obviously at Easter Road.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, did play at Ibrox or play at Celtic Park, like play it somewhere. You know, even like if you look at Penny Cars, you could get what, 3,000-4,000 in there, 5,000, something like that. Like, just utilize the occasion, utilize the facilities that you can get access to, and just make it available. This idea that, oh, it's a cup game, so it's different broadcasting rights. Okay, who owns the broadcasting rights to the cup games? Oh, I don't know.
There isn't a deal for that.
Oh, there isn't a deal. Can you get a one-off deal for this game? I don't think we're going to check. Why wouldn't you check? I don't know. It's all so, it's all just so frustrating because I have to say, like, I'm obviously, I've came to the women's game over the last couple of years. I took you to your first women's game, Claire, a couple of years ago, obviously. But this, watching this game, we sat and it was really tense and it felt like a derby. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend it was the same as watching the men's team. For me personally, it wasn't. But I was so emotionally invested that the level went up. My point being, if you build on this, this really can become the second derby of the season. Like, you go and watch the men's game, you get enthralled in that, obviously, and then you come and watch the women's game, and the atmosphere's kind of not far off what it is. Let the Green Brigade in there. Like treat it with the respect it deserves, because it was, and I know I'm jumping ahead, it was a terrific game of football. It was incredibly tense, and it was a great game of cup football as well. Like, it had everything.
Yeah. I know that before we were talking and you said something about, because I'm not as familiar with the rules as you, but you said, Chris, that, you know, there is a requirement in the men's game that for cup games there's a certain allocation of tickets that have to be given to the other side and stuff. And I did have a conversation with someone at SWF this week who had rung me because I was asking all week before it, like, what's happening with tickets, can we get tickets, da, 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 da. And the impression I got was that this was just a problem, this was an issue that they had not encountered before, where a team kind of like closes the door. And there isn't a specific rule in Scottish women's football that says that you have to do that. And I think that the impression I got was that the reason there isn't a specific rule is because this is not something that has been encountered before. So, and it is going to be something that will be revisited. So I would like to think that going forward, when we do have these big cup games, that there will be some leeway for allowing away fans into the stands. Chris?
It's not like Rangers to ban away fans, is it? That's very un-Rangers-like.
Let's talk about the game. The lineup, as I reach over for my piece of paper. The lineup, let's go through the lineup. It was Chloe Logan, Cheyenne Shorts, Kelly Clark, Caitlin Hayes, Jodie Bartle, Shen Mengyu, Olivia Chance, Rachel Donaldson, Jacinta, Clarissa Larracy, and Charlie Wellings. Lorenzo, when you saw the lineup, were you happy with that?
Yeah, I think there was some, obviously, like, Bartle randomly being at left back now. We talked about Jodie Bartle being shifted about a little bit, and maybe we don't think she's as versatile as the position she gets made to play. But before we even get in, Jodie Bartle was fucking brilliant at left back.
She really was.
She really was.
The first thing you and I texted each other, Lorenzo, was Jodie Bartle at left wing back. What?
Yeah, she was absolutely phenomenal. I think she is made for these games. Again, we talk about, like, her personality and the way she plays. I think this is, you couldn't not play her against Rangers. I thought she was brilliant. I thought she was really, really good. I really like the back three. I think when that's a back three, that is my preferred starting three.
Correct.
Cheyenne Short's a great athlete. I think they're all together now. I think they seem a little bit settled in that formation. I think it came, that kind of performance was so mature, it felt like it's all kind of come together with that formation. I don't feel any concern about it at all. The front three, I think, was maybe picked in mind of like how much they wanted to press with that front three. Clarissa is really, really good at pressing. Jacinta has really upped her game in terms of pressing as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was buzzing with that front three. I just thought he got it spot on, which he's done before in a big game. You know, there's a few big games where we've worried about Fran tinkering and changing, but the majority of the time he does, and particularly against Rangers, he gets it spot on. I think he knows that Rangers team really well now, and I think he really has a great plan in mind for every one of these games. And this was a different setup to other games we played against Rangers. This was a high press. This was pretty attacking. This wasn't, you know, five at the back and let's defend and let's hold on and we'll get breaks. We controlled a lot of this game because of the way we set up. So I was really pleased with the lineup, and the more the game went on, the more pleased I was with it.
Yeah, you were kind of nodding in agreement there, Chris, specifically at the back line.
For me, minus, if you switched out Donaldson and Teagan Bowie, mm-hmm. I think that's Celtic's best team.
I would say Teagan coming on though, made, because she got to come on with that full engine, I think she made a big, big difference.
That back three of Shorts, Clark and Hayes, Clark in the middle being your sort of, you know, spare in the back three, that just play that every week. Just like, I know obviously Fran, it's hard to criticise a manager when they're winning, especially after, you know, a big game, winning the derby, knocking them out the cup, getting to a cup semi-final. Then he changes it up for the, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but he changes it up for the Hearts game. Again, that's fine, I get it. But for me, if you're playing a back three, that is such a specific formational situation and setup that you really need people to be familiar. And I think Celtic really, I think that Shorts, Clark, Hayes, as I said, perfect. Like, I think it's probably one of the best defensive lineups in the league. And why would you not just keep playing that? Change up, you know, you want to change the fullbacks. That's
fine.
You
want to see Chloe Craig sometimes, though, don't you?
Chloe Craig, what, she comes on the 85th minute?
She's versatile, though, you know. She's a good sub to have because she can come on at like three different positions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She can play central midfield. She can play holding midfield. She can play wide. You know, there are options there. But for me, just play that back three moving forward. Change it up all around. No bother. As Lorenzo says, you can play defenders in other positions. But I think that if you put Teagan Bowie where Donaldson was, you start with that, Celtic's best team. That's just me. And I know there's obviously you guys have got different perspectives, but I just think it was really just very slick.
Yeah. What were your overall thoughts? We've just mentioned there already, Lorenzo, that Jody Bartle had an absolutely cracking game. We spoke to Kelly afterwards, and I think Fran and Kelly in post-match interviews, you know, there was much talk of, we've got these big game players. We've got these players who, when it's the occasion, they absolutely step up. They lead by example. The younger, slightly less experienced players get lifted by that. Is that something that you recognise from watching the game?
Yeah, I thought our older players, our more veteran players, really stepped up. And I didn't think there was a weak performance on the park, to be honest. I thought over the whole park, we were great. I think the weather was shite. The pitch was really wet, like that kind of astro pitch or whatever it is. Every time a ball was a wee bit too long, it just skidded away. So that game could easily have descended into, you know, a really poor quality, scrappy game. But I think, to be fair, Rangers as well, I think the quality was really, really high, particularly with just how much that ball was spinning about. And that back three won every header, every long ball, that back three just swept up. And Rangers just got really frustrated. And again, it shows the measure of that Celtic team. They were so in control, so composed, so confident in these big games, that they just frustrated Rangers so much, who I think, I got the idea from the start, I think Rangers thought they would come out and be on top again. You know, I don't think they necessarily thought they were massive favourites because of what's gone on in the past, but I think they thought they would have the run of the game and it'd be about breaking Celtic down. But the kind of combination of like the back three staying pretty deep, I don't think we ever played too high, but we pressed so much, and Rangers just did not kind of find any joy in the middle of the park, which is the only kind of bit where you would think maybe there's a gap when the front press and the back line stay pretty deep. They were forced down the wings a lot. I think both teams were forcing each other down the wings.
Yeah.
But again, because of the strength of our defenders and Jody Bartle and Donaldson and Bowie when they were on marking those wingers, I just thought they got no real joy, and we limited them to a lot of kind of scrappy chances if they had any. But across the whole pitch, I thought we were brilliant, and there was really nobody that stood out as like having a poor game. I think there were some players maybe that were finding it a little harder to get maybe first touches under control in the rain in the first half, but they made up. Like Clarissa had a few loose touches, but she made up for it with some amazing pressing. She caused a lot of our best attacks by winning the ball back. Yeah, I think I could go on all day about how good everybody was, but I think a lot of it comes down to Fran's setup. I think he deserves a ton of credit.
It's lovely to be speaking about this team in this way as well, isn't it, Chris? And I think Lorenzo said there that, you know, it did feel tense. It did feel like a battle. It could have been scrappy, but it wasn't. The quality of the football was pretty high. There were moments where it felt like maybe Rangers were starting to take control, but, you know, what were your overall thoughts? Do you agree with Lorenzo on the quality of that Celtic performance?
The thing that impressed me most, I think, was the front three, because, you know, Fran wants to play football a very specific way, right? And it's not so far, you know, the alignment between how Fran wants to play football and how Ange wants to play football. I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of real similarities. But the main sort of difference I found, and what I found really interesting, was how Jacinta and Larissa played. Because obviously when Ange plays, you know, you've got Jota and you've got Abada, or you've got, you know, Jota or whoever, and they stay at the far, they stay as wide as they can. Jacinta, you just couldn't pin her down. The Rangers defence did not know whether to go or to stop, to kind of push up on her, to press her or to drop off her. And that gave a lot of, Jacinta's runs inside and Larissa's runs inside really gave Donaldson and Bartle the opportunity to overlap and really get into, opened up space. I thought the movement of the front three was really, really excellent. And that's probably the story of the match for me. Because I thought the back line, terrific, solid, no problem. I thought Shane was a bit quiet. I'm not criticising her, but she was just a little bit quiet. I was expecting more from her, but I think she's probably playing deeper than she would like. I think she potentially would have liked to have, you know, played in that front three, a little bit more movement, but that's neither here nor there. Just the movement of Jacinta, I think I've been really impressed with her that, since she came into the fold against, well, Hamilton was the first time she started. But Jacinta and Larissa, I think that's the kind of the tale of the story, because their movement was, the Rangers just didn't know what to do.
Lorenzo, I was going to come to you because this kind of Jacinta being on an upward trajectory that we've seen this season, it's a story that's made for you, isn't it?
Yeah, vindication for me and Celtic's recruitment team. No, I think just from the moment we started doing these podcasts and I did that wee kind of overview of Jacinta, I was really excited about her. And it just feels like she's put in the work to maybe match the levels of fitness, maybe it might have been, I don't know, because she was a wee bit injury prone in and out of the team. She just seems to fit this squad now all of a sudden. She really just fits the way we play. And you would maybe see her as more of a luxury player, but now she's just one of the better pressers in the team. Yeah. And she just fits in brilliantly. But I thought with Shane and Chance, I think because of the nature of the game, like I said, there was a lot of wing play, there was a lot of direct balls, there was a lot of pressing. I think Shane and Chance, as much as they were a wee bit quieter, I think their quality really showed through, because when they had to, their ability to kind of take one touch and move it on, or, you know, win these 50-50s in the middle of the park just by controlling the ball better, being a better footballer, I think they really helped the quality of that game keep up and the intensity of the game keep up, because it didn't start to bog down the midfield, even though both teams were really trying to find avenues through. I thought there were 50-50s that would bounce and Shane would take one touch and get rid of it out the middle of the park, get rid of it to a winger. Chance as well would just kind of swivel and find room, and it meant that we didn't get stuck under like Rangers trying to dominate, trying to, like they did, like they do most times against us. They kind of control the middle of the park, and it makes us kind of sit back on our heels and have to break all the time. But I think Shane and Chance swept up a lot and moved the ball back into our control, and I think we had way more possession than we usually do against Rangers, and a lot of that was down to them. But just in general, fucking
yeah, brilliant. Lorenzo, I think sometimes my nerves going into these games kind of get fed into by this narrative that is constantly. We'll talk about it a bit when we preview the league game as well. But you know, this idea that Rangers are somehow the top team, the team to beat, and we keep beating them. But like, so I always expect them to come out and for the quality to be much higher than we saw. I'm not saying it wasn't good, that they didn't play some good football.
They were crap. But we dominated them. It's no problem.
But I think I'm always a bit like, we watch for 10 minutes and I'm like, oh, okay, we could totally do this. Like, what did you make of the opposition just quickly overall before we talk about the goal?
I thought they contributed to a good game. I don't think they were poor. I think they were frustrated.
I love that. That's slightly patronising praise.
You know, I think they came out, they played some good stuff, but in the end, you know, they were just a better quality team. I think they were good. I think it was a good game of football. I mean, the one moment of poor quality is why it was 1-0. You know, I think in general both teams were pretty good. I think it shows how close I think this is the thing. I think both teams are very close together in quality, and I think maybe if you look at individual players purely based on experience and records and stuff, you'd probably say Rangers have the stronger squad. But these games are so tight, and they always are, and Celtic step up and find a goal from somewhere and then keep that lead. And that's something, again, that you just have to attribute to big game players. And when the league's going to be this close, the big games are what, I mean, we drop points, you know, in a really daft game where we should have hammered Spartans. And the way we make it up is by winning the big games. And again, hopefully we do that at the weekend. But, you know, a cup game is as kind of big game as it gets, particularly against your rivals. And it was a close game in quality-wise, and we just found that little X factor. And it came because of, you know, one lapse. We didn't lapse at all. I don't think there was any real bad error. There was maybe a couple of loose balls, which gave Rangers some chances. But again, if they'd gone in, you would have said that, you know, the one moment of poor quality is what led to their goal. And that's what happened for us, and we just kind of took advantage of it.
We're talking about that now, so let's talk about the goal. There were some varying descriptions of it afterwards, but give us your take on what happened, Lorenzo.
I mean, Wellings broke free. She started to get more joy as the game went on. I think the first half, Wellings was a wee bit, she was pressing brilliantly, she was moving brilliantly, but I think she was a little bit frustrated in terms of her actually getting some service she could score with. And you could see that in the park, I think, which is good, you know, because I think their movement was so good, she was getting frustrated that it wasn't quite falling for her. Which is why I think she took the shot on early instead of kind of running with it. But she does it quite a lot. She's aware that she can catch keepers off guard if she goes early. But that was an easy save. And the ground, I talked about the ground was slick. It's a really weird surface. Every time that ball bounced off the ground, it really picked up speed. But that's, I think that's twice now Jenna Fife has really shat it against Celtic, which I'm a big fan of.
Are you talking about the goal at Celtic Park?
No, yeah, was Jenna, I feel like Jenna Fife has had a couple like howlers against us. And the goal at Celtic Park, obviously, she does the McGregor
she comes way out. Chris, the ball kind of, it looks from what we saw on the stream that we were watching, the ball sort of bobbled past Jenna Fife.
For me personally, I love a snidey goal against Rangers. I love a sort of, oh, there's been a mistake. Oh, you know, just conceding a horribly snidey goal against Rangers. That's better than like a, you know, 25-yard stormer for me. Just that, oh, you almost could have got it if you tried really hard, but you're not good enough. It was a really, you know, I think she takes the shot. It's on target. Can't really ask for anything more, really. I think Lorenzo's right in regards to Wellings in the first half. I don't think she got too many clear-cut chances, but her work rate was really good. That's the thing that I think can be slightly missed. You've got Jacinta and you've got Larissa making really good moves across the pitch, so they're dragging defenders everywhere. But because Shen and, would you call her, Olivia, are a little bit deeper, you know, it would have been maybe good if one of them could have, maybe if we'd had maybe a sort of 1-2 sort of pivot where one of them had a little bit more freedom. But then again, you know, there's that sort of idea of keep it tight and we'll get one chance, and we did. So I'm not complaining from that point of view, but, you know, the longer the game went on, when we took the lead, the game really started to get stretched and we found ourselves getting in behind more and more. And my disappointment with that is I think we could have potentially scored at least one more goal, and we probably deserve to score one more goal. Specifically, when Tegan Bowie came on, she really stretched them because she's so fast, and her timing of her runs is very, very good. So, yeah, very happy with the goal, very happy how we performed after that. I thought in-game management was very, very good. I thought Kelly was very... She played the captain's role. She was talking people through it. You take the lead, you hold on, yeah. And yeah, it probably should have been more.
Their best chance probably came from, I think it was Chelsea Cornet who sent the ball towards Chloe Logan, and that was a cracking save, wasn't it, Lorenzo?
Yeah, I mean, watching it live, it's that way. You just see a ball sailing in, and you think, oh, for fuck's sake, this dig is going in top back. And yeah, Logan just got up. She's done that a few times. I mean, there was a game against Hibs, which is the first game I think I was back during the kind of COVID games, where I was right behind Chloe Logan. And again, you see the ball sailing and you think, if you could zoom in on Alba, you'd see me going, oh, for fuck's sake, thinking it's going right in the corner. And she flies across the goal. And it was like that, which is the last second. Again, because, hey, we talk about it, when people talk about the size of the goals, she's a small keeper. And that you have to time that jump, otherwise you flap at it. And everyone in the crowd thought that goal was in. And she gets up the last second, tips it over. It was brilliant. I was absolutely buzzing. And again, it's another one of those kind of morale killers for Rangers who were frustrated. They were really just that second half. They were just kind of, they weren't getting any joy at the Celtic defence. They weren't running by it. They weren't beating MD, which I think when you watch Rangers highlights, they like to, you know, they do run over teams. They go by players.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of pace. And I think one thing you'd say about that Celtic backline is, like, Kelly Clark's not the fastest. So they do drop, like, she plays this kind of sweeper role, and they do drop a lot and trust their wing-backs to be fast and trust the other two centre-halves to kind of cover for her. But Kelly Clark's, like, awareness of her own pace, I thought, was amazing. There's so many times where it looked like a Rangers player was going to get away, and Clark was always there. You could see she was nowhere near as quick as the Rangers player, but she was always there first. And that was really good to see. So I think that Logan save just was like, we're not going to enjoy today. This is not happening today for us.
Yeah, Kelly Clark knows exactly when to squeeze the game and when to drop off. Like her, she's just very, very good. And not even from a, you know, technical point of view. I'm not even talking about her technique. It's just her awareness. Her positional awareness is excellent. Can I just say, see that save? It's sensational. See the feet. For me, it was the feet. You can tell. So a lot of quick keepers in that position, I think, dive up, and that's them lobbed. But she took the time to realise she got her feet were perfectly placed. Fingers, Claire. I've always said it's all about the fingers. Stretch.
All about the fingertips.
All about the fingertips. Stretch as much as you can. And I thought it was a magnificent save. But, you know, I had a lot of doubts about Chloe Logan. I think last season we talked about it, me and Claire privately. But that Levante game really showed, like, her mettle and, you know, the ability to really perform on the big high stage. And that save, magnificent.
Before we quickly talk about the Hearts game, which we can say much less about because there was nowhere to watch it, I'm going to ask you both. We've kind of given everyone pass marks, I think, for that Rangers game. Lorenzo, are you able to pick out a sort of standout performance in that Celtic team?
Yes, it's Jodie Barrow, I think.
Yeah.
Because we don't criticise the team really on here because they generally play so well. But we've talked about the switching of formations, and we were kind of like, there's Jodie Barrow. Is she comfortable anywhere other than right back? Is she at her best? So when we saw her at left back, I was a little bit worried because, again, we do have good options on that side. So it's interesting to see Fran put her there. But, man, she was so good. I think they are dangerous. They are quick. They're tricky. And she stopped everything. She stepped up and won a lot of interceptions and won a lot of tackles. She didn't sit back and kind of let somebody run at her and try and win a tackle. She really stepped into the game. And even going forward, she stepped up. She came inside. You know, she's very strong on her right foot, but she made that work for her, and she really kind of moved the game out of those kind of really congested wide areas and moved it into chance, moved it into Shen, and just got really high up the park. And she's got that engine for when the game got really tight and really nervy at the end and people started to get leggy. Jodie Barrow was still fresh, and Jodie Barrow was kind of running the show down that side.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was brilliant. But I think every day, as you say, pass marks at least, I think every day was really, really good.
Yeah, no, I was the standout one for me was Jodie Bartle as well. Do you agree, Chris, or is there someone else you want to pick as your standout performance from that team?
On Jodie Bartle, two words: Philip Lamb. But we'll save that for another day.
Wow.
Jacinta, for me, I get your points on Bartle. Absolutely, Bartle probably was player of the match from a Celtic point of view, but I was impressed with Jacinta's movement. Really, she was everywhere. She was a nuisance. But whenever it came to kind of key moments in the game, she always chose the right decision. Her decision making was good. Her ability to drop in and to drop wide was really good. I think she's really starting to go up the gears now. I think we're starting to see a player with real quality. And she's just got really good energy. I know that's, you'd hope all your forward players would have good energy, but they don't. Jacinta, for me, really impressed me. Jodie Bartle is the new Philip Lamb, and Kelly Clark is the new Matt Hummels. So, all terrific.
Oh, and I want to shout out, again, Cheyenne Shorts, I thought, was great. And I think we're trying to figure out who that third centre-back might be. You know, we do have options. We talked about at the beginning of the season. I think sometimes, I think in the first half, she dithered on the ball a wee bit. But as the game went on, the second half, she would win every ball. She covered for like a marauding Tegan Bowie in the second half really, really well. I think as the game really drew on towards the end with that. And I don't know, you could tell me as you're watching on the stream. We in the stands, we were convinced there was 9 minutes of added time.
It's Rangers in a cup and they're winning so, down. There was,
I don't know what
minutes.
The clock was saying.
24 minutes of added time.
As the guy next to me said, is it added time until Rangers score, is it?
Aye.
No, see, I totally agree.
See that back three with Shorts and Hayes, it's the physicality.
Yeah.
Like that, that physicality and that athleticism lets Kelly, you know, you've got the two wide markers and you've got the spare person. And Kelly just plays her game. She's spare. She can come out with the ball. And she's not the biggest. She's not got the biggest frame. And she's not, I don't mean to disrespect her, but she's not the strongest physically. But those two kind of being each side of her, I think, play that back three. That's your back three. Keep it.
Yeah. Lorenzo, have you got some kind of secret bet going with someone about how many times you can say that Cheyenne Shorts is athletic?
I'm trying to make it a new catchphrase. Because I remember I said it accidentally like three times in one podcast, trying to like say why she should start. But now she's starting, so I don't have to say it as much. But she is a great athlete.
We came out of that game. We played Hearts midweek in the league. It was kind of a weird game because it was one that wasn't on TV anywhere. It was over in Edinburgh. So it was kind of obviously sandwiched between these two Rangers games. It's easy for it to maybe get overlooked. But let's just touch on it quickly. It was a very, very different team that came out against Hearts. It was Chloe Logan, Chloe Warrington, Chloe Craig, Caitlin Hayes, Tegan Bowie, Chance, Tyler Tolland, Maria Gross, Jacinta, McGovern and Wellings. We won the game 3-0, three different goal scorers, Jacinta on the score sheet, which is great. We've talked about her a little bit there, but also McGovern and Wellings, the front three that you absolutely would want to see a goal from all of them. Lorenzo, have you got any sort of general thoughts on that game? Were you able to, I think the goals are available to look at.
Yeah, Hearts had a 7-minute highlights package and then just the goals package as well. Yeah, I was the team, you know, changed a lot again. So it's one of those ones, if we lose it, then you go like, why is he changing the team? But, you know, we should be beating Hearts. And it was quite an exciting kind of rotations that we're in. Like, I like seeing Maria Gross. I think she gets better every game, actually. It's nice to see McGov play, obviously. Who actually, again, in that Rangers game, she was really good kind of winding the clock down and just being a good footballer. She's so good on the ball. But, you know, all the goals were good. I think looking at the first half, you may be disappointed not to come away with better goal difference improvements, because we talk about how important that's going to be to have such a good first half and then a goalless second half. Mm. But no, I think Jacinta seemed to play really well. She was involved a lot in those highlights and in the goals. And I thought all the goals were great. And the way we started that game, even if you watch the highlights, they kick off and four of our players just bolt at their back line. And again, yeah, it's that way of being intimidating. Like, yeah, we're going to press this whole game. You're not getting a break here, yeah, which is great. So Yeah, I don't know if we'll go over the goals, but I'm buzzing in general with that first half. Second half, obviously, the game not being available to watch. Fuck knows what happened in it. But yeah, first half was good.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's what we want to see from the Celtic team against a side like Hearts, isn't it, Chris? Just right from the whistle blowing, just going, absolutely going for it.
I thought the Hearts women's Twitter was very earnest, because they were literally like, oh, we are getting battered, by the way. Like, they are overrunning us. You should see this. I'm glad people can't see this, because we are getting absolutely battered. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm never going to be happy when there's so many changes. I'm a guy who likes consistency. You know, the back line, the entire back line almost changing. Well, obviously he's kept her place, but, you know, Chloe Craig, Chloe Warrington, all the Chloes, just fire it, get all the Chloes in. You can't criticise because they've won, fine, and I'm not going to criticise, and I didn't see the game. The first goal was exceptional. The first goal, really, just that one touch passing, the finish was great.
Really, and it was Jacinta who sent that ball into Wellings, wasn't it, again?
It's almost like she just kind of cushions it. She kind of, it's not even a pass, it's just like a cushioned kind of, I'm actually doing it under the desk, like a cushioned, the ball comes and it's like cushioned out, cushioned through. And again, that, as we talked about with the Rangers game, Jacinta, what I would say is, someone like Jacinta, just play her. So you can, she needs, there are certain players I think who need consistently. See someone like Maria Gross, right? She's not going to get better unless she plays.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've got Shannon, and you've got Olivia Chance in front of her. You've got, so I completely understand the dilemma that Fran has in terms of giving young players. And it's not like the men's game where there's the League Cup, there's the Scottish Cup, there's European games, there's games at home where, you know, potentially you can put out a weekend team. I totally understand that. But it's a little bit frustrating, because I would like consistency. We're getting to that point where we've got a semi-final coming up, we've got Rangers coming up. You know, it would be good to play. I'll be honest, it would have been good to have played the same team against Hearts as we did against Rangers, to again just keep the juices flowing, to set you up for the Rangers game. But I also understand why he changed it up. So yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
Lots of changes to the lineup and lots of in-game changes as well. We had two changes at half time and then three changes at about 60 minutes. But I'm slightly different. I don't hate that as much as Chris does. Lorenzo, what are your feelings on it? I think that going into the league game against Rangers, do you think that played into what Fran was thinking in terms of getting minutes in people's legs and getting those kind of the confidence of all the squad up?
Maybe. It depends on why he does it. You know, does he do it for that? He wants them as fresh as possible? Because again, it depends on how the players are feeling. You know, some players need to play, can play three games in a week and can do it pretty regularly. And if you take them out of it, they lose a lot of momentum. You know, maybe he's confident that he can take a lot of these players out and they go back to 100% if they get a week off, and they'll be back for the Rangers game in full kind of fitness. But, you know, we've got some injuries as well to players that could actually be pushing for a start. So it's good to see the squad kind of get a run out. I thought Maria is somebody who's got that raw pace. She seems to have like a lot of kind of raw qualities. But every game she does play in, her composure in the final third gets better.
Yeah.
Which is really good, because that was the one thing when you would watch, you'd go, this girl's got electric pace, she's good on the ball, she's really direct, but the final third, she doesn't quite pick her head up.
Mm.
But I think it was the third goal in particular.
The third goal, she got it into the box.
Yeah, and she gets right to the byline first, which again is great, because she just trusted her pace. Sometimes, like a lot of wingers, she would kind of turn back on herself. She can do anyone in this league for pace, and she can do it the whole game. She goes right to the byline, she takes the ball perfectly to the byline, and then doesn't float a ball, doesn't kind of dink a ball in. She looks up, sees a crowded box, and drives it across the face of it. And it's buried, because, you know, you're putting it into a really busy box and just sitting there to bury it. So stuff like that, to see these players kind of get their minutes and take a chance is really good. Because Maria's somebody, again, no matter who we start with, whether it's Larissy or whatever in that kind of right forward role, if she can come on and we feel like she can make an impact, she's a massive advantage to have somebody that quick and that dynamic coming on off the bench. So I was pretty pleased with it. But again, I would agree, In general, I like consistency as well, particularly in the back line. But like I said, for that Rangers game, it felt like that formation was familiar now. They felt really strong as a unit. So maybe it's all been worked in the training ground. Maybe he's doing everything right with how much he's playing them together. But yeah, hopefully it kind of pays dividends in the Rangers game at the weekend.
Yeah, let's move on to talk about that Rangers game at the weekend quickly. We've got, it's the second game against them in 8 days, obviously two different competitions, but this consistent narrative, and Fran mentioned it in the press conference, which unfortunately, due to the COVID, we were not able to attend yesterday, but I did hear him say that, you know, that this idea, I'm sure that Fran loves the idea of being the underdog because he always brings it up. And I don't know, you know, where that story comes from, but obviously this Celtic side have consistently beaten Rangers.
So. You think it's almost like a little point to be like, they've invested pretty well, we don't invest. It's almost like a little bit of, you know, that's why we're the underdog. Yeah, we dig.
Chris, what are your thoughts on that narrative? And also, I don't know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you kind of can sometimes get in your little bubble. Do you remember, Lorenzo, at the end of last season, and then Glasgow City were coming out with a story that they were kind of written off, and we all just kind of went, what?
Yeah.
Who was writing you off? We didn't hear anything like that. And it's like, maybe they were hearing stuff from somewhere else. You know, maybe Celtic is telling the story that we're the underdogs. I don't know. What's your take on that, Chris?
Well, this is what you want, I think, with the derbies. You want this almost like paranoia and this like intensity in these derbies. And I think Fran knows that as the underdogs, we turn up to big games. So he just keeps that kind of, and again,
keeps that going.
We can be the, and then as somebody who has bet on a few Celtic Rangers women's games, we are always the underdogs. Just with the bookies, we are. Yeah. And the other ones are going to be in the know. We are always the underdogs at the bookies whenever the odds are available, which should be more.
You're nodding, Christopher.
Yeah, I think it's smart. Like, psychologically, it's you know, it's easier to G a team of athletes, of footballers up, if you consistently tell them that, you know, those people out there think they're better than you. The media think that you're weak. Go and prove to them they're not. You know, you've got a point to prove. It's galvanizing the squad. It's exactly what I think he should be doing. Having said that, you know, I think Fran just tactically has, you know, Captain Staunch, whatever the Staunch Rangers manager is, and I tell you something, big Malky
Thompson.
Oh geez, oh, he's got the brown brogues on. Don't you worry about that. He's got the smart suit pressed. He's got the but Fran's got him in toast tactically every time, and so. Yes, we're underdogs. I do actually still think we're underdogs, right? I know that's going to sound mad because if we lose this game, you could potentially say that our title challenge it's not over, right? But it would be really hard to come back from because Rangers look good against everyone else. Alan Edgar always says it. These games don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It's how you do against the other, teams, right? And we've dropped points, and they haven't. So from that point of view, you could argue that we are the underdogs because we've got a young squad. They've got far more experienced players who've played at a higher level. If you talk about Glasgow City and a couple of them from down south, you know, like they have that experience, but we have that winning mentality against them. So I think it's interesting. Are we underdogs? I kind of do feel we are, but we're not. Like it's a very psychologically confusing time.
It is very confusing. You could kind of spin it either way, I think. But in terms of the football that we saw last weekend and how we've been against them in the past and got these wins, Lorenzo, do you think that technically on the football pitch, this is a game that we can again win?
It's 100% a game we can win. You know, if we draw it or if we draw points, whatever. Obviously, you're at home. You can't really for the title challenge do anything less than a point here. But it's not like if we get beat by Rangers, we'd be coming out like what a disaster in terms of the way we played. Because I think they just do have on paper a stronger squad. But that's as Chris said, Fran just has their number, and I think the team have a lot of confidence in that. And we talk about the way Fran sets the team up and how he changes the team. But I think they know when it comes to these Rangers games. They know how they're set up. They know how to play this team. and they feel like they can go out and do the job. And there's so much weight behind that. Whether it doesn't matter about the on paper who's got more experience or who's higher in the league. They know when it comes to Celtic v Rangers, they have this team. And until something drastic changes with the way Rangers set up or the way Rangers approach these games, Celtic should feel like they can go in and beat them every time. And when you've got somebody like Wellings up top, if you can keep it tight and you can restrict Rangers, even if we don't have as much control of the game as we had at the weekend, somebody like Wellings can pop up with a goal. And if that back three can stay as strong, you should be confident of really nicking a result. Or if not nicking a result, as the games have gone on, we've taken more control of these games because Fran has felt more confident in how much he has Rangers' number. So maybe we'll see a even further advancement of that on Sunday. Maybe we will go out and actually control a game against Rangers for the full 90 minutes.
Do you think we'll see the same side that we saw last Sunday?
Yes, although I think I agree with Gal. I'd like to see maybe Bowie from the start. Bowie's one of my favourite players. There's a lot of advantages of bringing somebody with that engine on at half-time or whatever, but I think she's that good. I think you just play her from the start. You just put that strongest team out, which for me is probably Bartle back on the right and Bowie on the left. And I don't think you could argue with the rest of that lineup. I think there's a few changes you could make, but I wouldn't.
You talked about swapping out, yeah, Rachel Donaldson for Bowie, but I think you do want Bowie on the left. That's where she does her best work. And Jodie on the right, happy days. Be interesting to see. We are, as usual, not going to try and predict Fran's lineup because it's impossible.
I do wonder if there will be a slight difference with how Rangers play being away from home. And how?
In what respect?
Well, you know, I felt that, you know, we really dominated possession against it. I mean, it's typical Rangers. Celtic dominate possession and Rangers hit you on the counter-attack, and that's fine. But I do wonder, I think I sniff a little bit of desperation from them. And to me, I think they're going to come out all guns blazing from the start. I think this is going to be their, it's not an all or nothing situation, but I think they are really, really going to press. I think they'll be told to really press us high, try and win the ball back, and really push up as high as they can and really just go for it, which I think...
Can we deal with that?
I don't think any Celtic team do well getting pressed, to be honest. But I think, you know, as we mentioned before, you know, the fact that when in the first game, they conceded, they pressed as high, and we got in behind a number of times. So, you know, if it takes that sort of, you know, situation where we invite them onto us and then hit them on the counter, you know, very similar to how we beat them at Ibrox 1-0 in the men's game in the league when Edouard scored, you want to do something like that, that might potentially work. But I don't think this game is going to be anything like the game last week is the point. I think it's going to be a completely different game, and that excites me and worries me.
Yeah, it's really definitely going to be exciting. I'm absolutely gutted that we can't actually be there. If you can, please go along in my place and make lots of noise and cheer the Celtic team on. I will be still in my COVID zone. But yeah, tickets are on sale, which is great. The club have done a much better job about promoting that and getting the word out there, I think, and getting the tickets up early. And I think you can now buy tickets right up until kickoff, which is amazing. So go, go, go. If you can't be at the stadium, it's going to be on Alba. And as we mentioned, it's going to be on Celtic TV, which means hopefully it will draw a much bigger audience and do something to promote the profile of the women's game at Celtic. But yeah, it's going to be another nerve-wracking weekend, Chris.
It is, yeah, absolutely. I'm on the hoops. Are we going to do predictions?
Do you want to do a prediction? People always groan at me and look sad when I ask for predictions.
I love a bloody prediction, I'll be honest.
Go on then.
I think Celtic will win 2-0. I think Jacinta's going to score, and I think McGovern's going to come off the bench and score the second late on. Celtic, I think there's going to be a lot of scary moments in this game. I really do. But at the same time, you know, we'll power through and it'll be 2-0.
I love the specificity of your prediction. Thank you very much for that. Lorenzo, you now have to live up to that.
I think Celtic will win 2-1.
Do you think that our second goal will come in like the 92nd minute?
I do think it will come late. I do. And I think it will be Cheyenne Shorts from a corner.
Oof, love it.
Say that.
Ooh.
And I think the first goal will be Wellings because she has to score. And I think the Rangers goal could come after we're already 2-0 up. But I think our second goal will come late regardless. But I think we'll win 2-1.
We shall see. We shall see. Lorenzo, will you be at the game?
I will be. And I am very, very excited.
You will be there representing the Cynics, seeing as we can't be there.
Yeah, I will be next to the Shen fan club. If anybody wants to try and find me, I'll be as close as possible to the Shen fan club.
Yeah, go and say hello to Lorenzo. Yeah, it's going to be good. As I said, it's also going to be on TV. We'll be talking about it next week. Fantastic. Chris, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's always a pleasure to be involved in one of my favourite podcasts on The Cynic.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, actually. Lorenzo, thank you, as always.
Yes, this is my favourite podcast on The Cynic.
One of these days we'll do one where none of us sound ill.
No way.
That's the gimmick. That's the selling point.
Yeah. Such a weird selling point for a podcast. Anyway, it's been great. I've loved talking to you, both of you. We will see how we do against Rangers tomorrow. Mon the Hoops. I've been Claire Wilde. This has been the Celtic Women's Football Show.